Our first reading this morning comes from Genesis 18, the first 15 verses. As you've heard, a children's version of it. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and he saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves. And after that, you may pass on since you've come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour. Knead it and make cakes." A man, right? Abraham ran to the herd. He ran to the herd, and he took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf he had prepared, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" And he said, "There in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife, Sarah, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening by the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age, and it had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed and said to herself, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for God? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "Oh, yes, you did laugh." Our next reading comes from the New Testament, from Hebrews 13:1-3. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. This is the word of the Lord. Gracias a Dios.
Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show philoxenia, hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Philoxenia. This is the word in the book of Hebrews that we translate as hospitality. And it's an incredibly beautiful and powerful word that has a much deeper meaning than what most of us mean when we talk about hospitality. When we think about hospitality, we think of providing short-term care, offering a room for a friend or a cup of coffee or a cookie after church, or maybe even a few dollars if someone is in need. Philoxenia comes from 2 Greek words, philo, brotherly, sisterly, sibling, family love, and xenos, strange. That's the word from which we get xenophobia, a word that sadly we are all too familiar with, fear of the stranger. But philoxenia, the word we translate rather clumsily, I would say, as hospitality, actually means love of strangers. Not tolerate or accept or ever so politely pretend to include, but love strangers. It has an edginess to it. It packs a punch that our rather impoverished English translation, hospitality, just doesn't capture. Philoxenia, love of strangers. Now, hospitality in our world is an industry. Pay for hospitality. We pay people to open the door, to smile at us, to listen to us, to feed us, to clean up after us. We pay for hospitality. That is, if we can afford it. And unlike biblical times, the rich in our world receive far more hospitality than the poor, and the poor are usually the ones giving it. But if we pay for it, it's not Christian hospitality. It's not philoxenia, the love of the stranger. We also tend to think of hospitality as entertaining friends and relatives in our home. This is something that I love to do. Eating with friends and loved ones is one of the richest enjoyments in life, but it's not Christian hospitality. Entertaining our friends and our families is not the same as loving strangers. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it. In our Old Testament lesson, Abraham and Sarah extend classic Middle Eastern hospitality to strangers, a tradition that is thousands of years old. And since it's too hot in the tent's living area, Abraham humbly serves these guests outside under the cool shade of the trees, while inside in the tent, unseen to the guests, the women are preparing a meal to be shared with these strangers. And these are some strange strangers. They seem to suddenly appear before Abraham's eyes, and they ask odd questions. And when the food is ready, Abraham takes it out to them, and they enjoy a feast of roast calf and cakes. And these strangers are so strange that Sarah is overcome by curiosity, and she has to find out what they're talking about, and she peeks out from behind the corner of the tent, creeping out of the kitchen area to listen to what these strangers are saying. And then they say something that is really strange. Sarah will have a baby. Now remember, by this point, she and Abraham are in their 90s. Their 90s. And to be sure, Abraham has brought Sarah into some pretty harebrained schemes over his time, and they've worked out, by and large, okay for them. But this just isn't happening. Sarah has been the practical one, the one who takes care of things, the food, the family, the finances. Her tasks have included worrying and planning and cleaning up messes and talking sense. And this just doesn't make any sense. This is crazy. So she laughs. Until she realizes that they're serious, and then she's afraid, and she denies laughing out of fear. And now this whole thing has crossed over from crazy funny to crazy dangerous, and Sarah's fear is not unfounded. They have a household, they have property, they have family to protect, and we are not unlike Sarah. In that regard, we tend to think practically. We worry. We want to protect our own and our things from that which is crazy and dangerous and different. And it's natural that in that mode, we might feel threatened by the new and different, feel threatened by the stranger.
But here are these strangers at Abraham and Sarah's tent, these Sena strangers with Sena ideas, and here is the crazy, dangerous idea that they are bringing: hope. They're saying, embrace us, these strange beings. Embrace us with all of our strange ideas, and a blessing will come. Have faith, Sarah. Believe this crazy idea that in the strange, in the new, the unfamiliar, the different, the foreign, a blessing will come. Now, this story reminds us that hospitality is not just about inviting over our friends and our relatives and allowing them to stay in the spare bedroom, as meaningful as that is. Inviting into our lives the stranger, the one from afar, or even the one who would seem to be enemy. This is philoxenia hospitality. A welcoming spirit opens up one's heart and one's home to the other, to the one I don't know, to the one I'm not sure I can trust. It's three strangers at your door telling you that your life will be forever changed, and you try to hide your laughter, and you try to hide your fear. Now, let no one say that hospitality is easy. It can be risky. It can be unpredictable. It can even be dangerous. Nevertheless, hospitality can be life-changing. It can be transformative. The stranger can bring blessings utterly unexpected because the stranger bears the face of Christ, the source of all blessings. Henry Nouwen links hospitality with healing. Hospitality, he writes, opens up a friendly space for us to be ourselves and to be vulnerable about our pain and our fear. That is a true gift in our inhospitable world, where we marginalize and institutionalize people who are in pain. Hospitality invites strangers into a place where they are known and are loved, valued, accepted, and seen. Almost 10 years ago, I immigrated to Central America as a mission worker of the Presbyterian Church USA. But even so, I went as a stranger. And while I knew that there were people who would meet me at the airport, I had never met them in person. I didn't know the family who would receive me as their guest. I didn't know who I would be working alongside or worshiping alongside. I didn't know who might help me navigate one of the most violent cities and in the deadliest countries in the world, San Salvador. And to say that I was afraid would be an understatement. But all of that fear was slowly transformed by the hospitality that was shown to me, a stranger. How many times did I find myself sleeping on the only bed in the house while the rest of the family figured out what to do between hammocks and couches? How many times did a host offer to sleep on the floor so that I could have a room with a door and some privacy? How many times was my plate served first? And how many times was I encouraged to eat seconds or thirds or to finish whatever delicious dish we were enjoying? And how many times did I wake the whole family and the animals and the neighbors as I crept through the heavy metal door, making my way to the outhouse in the middle of the night, having enjoyed one too many cups of warm cocoa during the warm after-dinner conversations. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. On November 3rd, 2018, I received the phone call. She's on her way. She took the metro, and she should be there about 7:30, the voice said. I had agreed to welcome a young asylum seeker from Honduras in to share my one-bedroom grad school apartment, along with my two 40-pound dog daughters. And at that moment, I knew nothing more about her than a name and had nothing more than an old photo to go on. So I walked down to meet her when she texted me that she had arrived, and all I could see in the dark of the evening was a figure under a ball cap and some baggy clothes dragging a heavy bag behind her. And I'm not proud to admit it, but I was terrified. I was opening my home, and I didn't know to whom. I knew nothing of her path or her past, a complete stranger. But more than a year later, we are still roommates, and I can stand here and say to you with my whole heart that there is nothing quite like entertaining angels unawares. And I'm with Sarah. Boy, do these angels make you laugh. Marisol, if you haven't had the chance to meet her, is an incredible young woman who is part of my family now. And I can't imagine my life without her. Sister Joan Chittister says that the message for the stranger is clear. Come right in and disrupt our perfect lives. You are the Christ for us today. Who is our Christ today? I'm quite sure that God has presented each of us with a different face of Jesus just this week. But today, I would like to suggest that we look to the nearly 71 million forcibly displaced people around our world. Among them are nearly 26 million refugees and 3.5 million asylum seekers, over half of whom are under the age of 18. This is the highest level of displacement that our world has ever experienced. And in a world where one person is forced from home every 2 seconds as a result of conflict or persecution, our philoxenia, our hospitality, our love of stranger, our welcome is more important now than ever. And you've seen in the news, you know, that gangs and political instability and drugs and human trafficking and homicide and poverty and violence on a scale we can't even begin to imagine, that is the why there are strangers in our midst. And today, the strangers at our door come from all over the world. But here in Southern California, many of them come to our southern border. But they also come to us from down the street, from across town. They're looking for a welcoming spirit. They need someone who cares. Will we welcome them into our churches, our places of work, our schools, even our homes? In so many cases, their future depends on it. And in truth, friends, our future depends on it as well. Our lives together as the body of Christ depend on our welcome. If you're interested in learning more about specific ways that you and your family can be a part of this growing ministry of welcome and accompaniment, I invite you to come join us for lunch after the service and hear from our sister Irma as she shares about her journey that led her into our community. And my hope and my prayer is that we will continue to ask that Christ would come to us on the face of the stranger, and that we will have the courage to offer welcome and extend hospitality, always mindful that we just might entertain angels without knowing it. Amen.